We're now going to move on to the next section of our program. We have a panel that is gathering up here. And our first speaker is someone who, in many ways, does not need an introduction to this audience. It is Elisabeth Negemann, who is the Director General of the German National Library.
Guten Morgen, liebe Kolleginnen und Kollegen. Es ist schön, wieder hier zu sein. Ich bin um die Ecke geboren in Dortmund. Das ist gar nicht so weit weg. War schon lange nicht mehr hier in Bielefeld. Good morning, dear colleagues. Thank you for the nice introduction. And thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to speak about one of my favorite subjects. And I'm talking in English because this is about a European activity and our language, as Claudia did when she was talking here as IFLA president. Our language is English, so I could borrow all the slides, and please bear with me. I speak a sort of English today. You may not see it, but I've got a couple of hats on my head today when I'm speaking about Europeana and about connecting cultural heritage. And these are my hats for today. As was already mentioned, I'm the Director General of the Deutsche Nationalbibliothek, and in that capacity I was elected as Chair of the Conference of European National Librarians, which invented and put up a portal for national libraries called the European Library. And this portal and this Conference of European National Librarians was asked to lead the way to a very challenging activity, nowadays called Europeana, but in the beginning called the European Digital Library. And you can see the logo of our prototype right there. And to do all this, to set up this Europeana activity, we, and I will come to the question, who is this we set up a foundation called the EDL Foundation, short for European Digital Library Foundation. So I'm right now chairing that foundation as well, so this is why I'm here talking about Europeana, connecting cultural heritage. Please bear in mind, this is not an ongoing service right now. It often seems to be. If you look into the media, you have the feeling that it's already there. No, it isn't. It's just a prototype we launched, and you can see it. If you look carefully right now on the website, you see this small beta sign up there. So this is a beta version, and it was just launched because of the huge political interest in this activity. And it will not go away as a prototype until 2010. So it will be only in 2010 that you can really try out what's behind Europeana. But please go there, give it a try, tell us about it. Tell us about your experience. And we will certainly keep that in mind by going through all these circles of improving the service, improving what is there right now. So again, what I'm not talking about is about my institution, my library, but I will talk about this really amazing, sometimes a little bit frightening, challenging activity, which is pan-European, which is highly political, which is about museums, archives, libraries, films, museums. It's not just libraries. It's absolutely, on the contrary, it's about everything that is our cultural heritage, and heritage even in a very broad sense. I'm always saying that what is today's research is tomorrow's heritage. So we are very broad-minded about that. So, my talk is also not about the searching in that prototype. It's not about technology, search engines, absolutely not about metadata interoperability, even not about, although this is another favorite subject, about multilinguality. It's not about data harvesting or performance or user satisfaction, another favorite subject. But this is about my role in the whole setup, and that is more the governance, structural, financial sustainability part of it all. So I hope I won't bore you with these topics, but it's my belief that a nice technology, user satisfaction, all that is, of course, most important, but we have to keep in mind that we need the money to get it going and to keep it stable. So this is about money and governance, more or less. Where are we right now? As I said, this is our beta version, our prototype, and it was launched at the end of last year, as you might have noticed. And it was all ministers of culture of the member states of the European Union or their representatives present at that launch. Mr. Barroso was there. Two commissioners of the Union were there. And a high media coverage. It was such a huge success that the server went down and we had to take it from the net. And we needed a couple of, even two weeks, 3 weeks to upgrade the technology and put it live again on the web. And since December the 18th, it's back again and you can again try it. So what happened in 2008, because now I'm coming to what my talk will be about, it's, for instance, about a joint success. We succeeded in 2008 to get 150 network members in the Europeana network. We have a coverage of all European Union member states and more. Many, many more European countries are members in our network. We have all sectors represented. Sectors means libraries, archives, film archives, museums, music archives. We have more than 4 million items available. The Commission had as a goal for the end of 2008, 2 million items. So we doubled that as a beginning. We had, as I said, enormous publicity. We have the Europeana Foundation in place. We have financial backup from several ministries right now, and we are working on more. And we have our business model published. So why did we set up a foundation? In the first place, the Conference of European National Librarians is a foundation according to Dutch laws, and we knew how very easygoing such a foundation is. You don't need any money to set it up. Okay, you have to go to the lawyers, and that needs a little bit of money. But apart from that, you don't have to have money in the bank to set up such a foundation. But it's a legal body, so you can get money into that body. You can pay bills. You can have staff. You can have all sorts of formal agreements, etc., etc. So the purpose in setting up this foundation was, of course, this high vision, this mission to provide cross-domain access to Europe's cultural heritage. But it was also there for very practical reasons, as the slide says, to facilitate a formal agreement across all the sectors, to sustain it in a joint portal, and to provide this legal framework. And the Commission, the EU, was very much after us in setting up such a legal body because they wanted to have a partner with whom they could then negotiate. Now, I will not bore you with details about who is a member and who isn't at what we are changing right now, just to give you a glimpse on what's going on. We started with a very broad view on membership. So we allowed, if you have a look at B or D, we allowed for national associations and for relevant individual institutions to join the network, to join the foundation. Again, it was such a success that we are now thinking of taking that structure down again and put it up in a new setting to make it more more governable. Is that a word? Thank you. because just imagine hundreds of institutions on a foundation board where decisions have to be made by majority or even with a quorum of present members at a meeting, it's just not manageable. So we put down B and D, and instead of that, we now think, so this is a proposal right now, we think of having something like E, just in the last line there, elected representatives of a sort of council of content providers and aggregators, meaning that all these hundreds and thousands of individual institutions and national associations and whoever might join can be in a huge council, but that we have a structure that is really easygoing and simple. What came also suddenly into the picture was, of course, the member states and the Commission. We were talking about funding, and we were not talking about project funding, because this is going on right now, but we were thinking about how are we going to pay for an ongoing real service after project funding has ended, let's say after 2011 or from 11 onwards. So we got the Commission to say, yes, we will pay 50% of the finances, but not more. Go to the member states and collect the money from them. So when you talk to member states and Commission, they will come back and say, yes, but we want to have some sort of influence. So what we have now is at the very bottom, funding it all. And again, this is a draft. This is a proposal. It's not through yet. We think about a base where the Commission gives the money and the member states give money. And right up on top of that, there is our foundation, which has a small, nimble executive committee, this board of participants where only associations sit, and then this big, big council of content providers and aggregators. You can elect, let's say, 5 members to the board of participants from this broad council. You elect an executive committee out of the board of participants. Those who fund the whole thing give advice and have a sort of budget control. The executive committee, and this is according to Dutch law, when you set up a stichting, this is within the setup, the legal setup, the executive committee holds legal power and reports on finance and on strategy. And what we are right now doing is we want to have this picture in place until, let's say, autumn this year. So we have to go through several steps, amending our statutes as they are right now, going to the lawyers again, and hopefully having the new statutes in place in 2009. So then we are ready for 2010 and what's more important for 2011, because right now we are thinking about starting at the end of 2010 of the whole service. Until then, there is a whole, as we call it, universe of Europeana projects in place. These projects have a couple of aims. First of all, we have to develop the prototype. So many of these projects are about the services, the user, the technology, the legal things, and so on, so on. So, but also about networking. So we've got right here as running activities, for instance, EFG, that's a film portal, or Athena, this is a museum portal, APENet, this is archives. And so if you go through, if I would guide you through this huge number of projects, you will see that there is a setup of sectoral portals going up with EU money, but also structure, also technology, et cetera, et cetera. So we need all these projects to, in the end, build up the prototype, and to build up a sustainable network of partners who trust each other and who know what to ask from each other. We also need very strong national portals, not only these sectorial portals, as I just mentioned, for film, for archives, etc., museums, etc. We also need strong national portals, and you might know about the Deutsche Digitale Bibliothek, which is built up, but there's activity all around Europe, in France, I can't remember the names. So it's Culture FR for France, and there are a couple of other activities in other countries. So what is a challenge here is that you have to manage such a huge number of projects at the same time with a tiny, tiny office we have in The Hague under the umbrella of the Königliche Bibliothek, and we are very grateful that they still host us and support us enormously. But they can't pay the whole matching funds and the whole overhead for all these projects. It's more than €1 million we need there, just as matching funds, because EU funding means only partial funding there. So what we did was we went again to our ministries of culture and we asked them nicely to give us some money, and they did. In a couple of months, we really connected this €1 million to get the matching funds so that we were able to sign the contracts. So this is amazing, and this is really something that keeps us going and being optimistic about the future here. This is, for me, the most important project that is just in the pipeline. It's Europeana version 1. It's about building up the network. It's about aggregation. It's, as it says here, the glue to the many, many projects. And it's also to set up this licensing thing next to the public domain thing. In my view, it's very important to get publishers on board. And we are talking right now with IFRO, and we are talking with FEP, so we are talking with European right holders organizations to get them into the foundation, because I think we should not stop where the material is right now that is interested in for researchers, and we need to get the publishers on board. This looks complicated, but basically isn't. It's just to show you that the EDU Foundation and Europeana sits in the middle of a network, and that you have got all sorts of partners around it. You've got the national ones. So, for instance, where is it? I lost the national portals. Okay, so there are the publishers, as I just mentioned. It's not yet reality, it's my hope. Here, this is a national digital library, let's say the German digital library, and you have a museum, an archive, a library, and the aggregator is national. You have a sectorial aggregator here, and you have film archives, for instance, or you have museums, and again, a sectorial portal. And You have individual institutions that can also join Europeana directly. Instead of CNL right here, I could have put in Libre, for instance, as an aggregator, again, for content from libraries, but sharing CNL. Excuse me, I put CNL in there. So this is our value proposition. We say that we are the aggregators of interoperable content. Of course, it's mostly right now a cultural value proposition, but we all believe that there will be also economic value once we've got a certain amount of content in it, and we are quite certain that there will be companies paying for being part or reusing or whatever, joining somehow this network. So my hope would be that there will be also economic value in it. But now, right now, our mission is really to show this cultural value. And if you believe in cultural value, in aggregators, in becoming big, and by being big, really inviting others like the Googles of this earth to use the material that is in our libraries, in our museums, in our archives, please join. Join the network, join the projects, join Europeana with your content. And this is why I'm here. I want you to join and to be part of this all. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much indeed. And we have just a little time for questions. Who would like to ask the first question? No need to be shy. In that case, let me ask a brief question, which is, we have the prototype up now for Europeana. What is the timeline for making the next steps to get the final piece, the production version in place?
This is work in progress. We are doing it daily. We are harvesting or taking in more and more content. The tricky question is, how many versions of the prototype shall we produce? And of course, media coverage is higher if you can really show a new prototype every, let's say, 4 months. The Commission, I think, would love that. Mm-hmm. But it takes some time, some effort, and we are a bit reluctant, so we are negotiating there. So you don't see it because the prototype looks almost the same from day to day. And you can see it when you look at the website visits. It goes down, 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 down. We had this huge crash day, and when we came back, it was rather high. The interest was there again before Christmas. But now you see it really gradually going down. So I think once we could say now it's not 4 million, it's 6 million or whatever, or this and that institution is now here, or Germany is no longer only a tiny bit, but now there's a lot of content from Germany in it, there would be, again, media interest, et cetera, et cetera. So this is really a question of balancing staff effort and resources.
Thank you.